Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I am here with Todd Atkins. All right, so we are now part three. We're doing a little bit of a mini series, episode 544, 546, and 548. So if you haven't listened to 544 and 546, go back and do that, because this is really a continuation of our conversation on succession.
Yeah, so there's a couple more questions that I was thinking. Some of this is more multi-site than it is church plant, but maybe not. I mean, so if I'm a staff person at Beulah, and you know, you're talking about you and Keith, both running as you're passing the baton, you're both running full speed. And then at some point somebody speeds up and the other slows down. So at what point, how do I, as a staff person, begin to know who to ask what? And when do I do what I think Daniel would want me to do?
Yeah.
When do I do what Keith would want me to do? How do I make decisions on a day-to-day basis in a situation like this?
Yeah, that's... Super helpful. So I'll try to answer this in a way. I'll draw on our context. We are a mega church with a ton of staff, so I'll try to make it transferable regardless of the size of the church that you're at. But when you think about staffing, right, in the smallest of churches, there's still multiple layers. Right. So if we just think about
there's leaders.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's leaders of leaders.
Paid or not.
Yeah. Right. So you have, even on the pipeline wise, it's like, how do you as a senior leader relate with your ministry directors differently than your coaches, differently than your leaders, and differently than your volunteers? Right. It's not, no, even if you're a church of 50, you're not, you may not have five levels, but you'll still have levels. Right. So, honestly, when in answering your question, it really is a question of layers. At which layer do people know what? And how is this succession currently affecting them? And how is the transition of leadership affecting every layer? Because it's affecting all layers to one extent, but from a day-to-day perspective of, hey, I am a paid or volunteer staff member or, you know, key leader running this ministry, it's going to affect it differently, right? So when we drew out our succession plan, we looked at it from, okay, if we're not going any longer than 2 years, what does 6 months at a time look like? We could have gone to like 3 months at a time, but, you know, every weekend Sunday comes and I think 3 months is probably a little bit premature, but if you are not premature, it's too short of a time frame on a huge thing as succession. So we looked at it from a 6 month perspective, and before year one, right, it was actually because of COVID actually accelerated things quite a bit, but before at about the year one mark is when staffing, strategy, vision, and direction, those two columns, staffing as one and strategy, vision, and direction as another, were passed to me, right? So that was supposed to happen at year one, which were past year one, but it actually happened probably at about month 7 or month 8. And the way we did that was changing reporting, changing hires, changing that. So at this point right now, are myself and our operations director are the only two that report to Keith, who is our lead pastor. Everyone else reports to myself or to our operations director, and we are flowing it out that way. And then as we get closer to the actual baton passing date, then the operations director will come over to me.
Cool. Well, you know, I have been curious about it, so I wanted to just use this as an opportunity to ask you on the air, because I know that, you know, at the end of the day, it's great to have plans and strategies. Everybody knows I love those, and frameworks and yada, yada. But it's a dance, really.
Oh, 100%. And
so because there's so many things that you just can't, that you can't plan and strategize around. What have been some of those things that have come up, and then how have you guys processed that?
Yeah, so you're 120% correct that it is a dance. It really is a dance. And for me, I, as much as I'm leading strategy, vision, and direction and staffing in and amongst a few other columns, I need to consciously make the decision to be in step with Keith. Right, to be close in step with Keith. If days go by without us talking or without us connecting, either formally or informally, it's too long, because, you know, for him, his day-to-day is very different than what it was pre-succession, especially as I'm stepping into this role. So as he is still the lead pastor and I submit to his leadership in that way, even when I'm making changes or doing, I will, like, I am not unilateral, neither would I unilaterally do that anyway, even post-succession. But even now, it's like, no, I'm in a community of leaders and Keith is the lead guy, and I need to submit to him in that way where, yes, I know I'm leading this area, but he has so much wisdom. That the blessing is, it's not that he's on vacation or he's at another church or he's somewhere else. He is still working for our church. So I can be like, hey, Keith, can we talk about this? Help me think through this and this. And we have a really good balance in regards to that. So I'll give you another example. We recently had a retreat where we planned out the 2021 preaching calendar. Now, I'll give you an example of what this dance was like. Keith has not had that perspective, like, and his style of leading the preaching calendar was not that of get away for 2 days and plan it out with our teaching pastors and campus pastors and do that. That wasn't his plan. He was going maybe a couple months at a time, and he had a scope and sequence that he was leading and thinking about, but it wasn't, he didn't approach it in the same way. So it's just a different style of doing it. So what we did was we went away and we planned the first 6 months together, and then the next 6 months, he wasn't a part of the next 6 months, right? So what that allowed us to do is the first 6 months, he led the process. He is still the lead guy, and I'm submitting to him in that way, and we're working together. Even though I'll be preaching more than him, we were working together because it is that dance, and everyone else in the room, there was that dance. And then the next day, when he wasn't there, it looked very different. I'm not going to say it was better or anything, but it was different because it's a different lead. I have a different leadership style than him. So, right. So those are a little bit of the ways where even our worship team, our worship pastor, like, they'll plan services differently if I'm preaching or if Keith is preaching, because he knows there's that dance.
That's good. That's really good.
But you know what? Sorry, before you get into, but just to flat, you know, clearly state, our staff do feel like they're two senior pastors. You know, our church doesn't, because I'm submitting and I'm continually submitting. And even with our staff, I'm not saying, hey, when succession happens, then. I never, ever, ever say anything like that. But practically, day-to-day wise, I know our staff feel that we have two senior pastors. And I don't think there's any way to get around that with an intentional overlap like this.
Okay. So I know you're short on time. So, but I think this fits with this conversation and it fits for everybody listening. And that is, right now you're seeing more and more churches with their polity shifting to a more of a plurality mm-hmm. of leaders. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know that for a lot of us listening, we wonder how it might work, because it is a situation, you know, a lot of times where there's multiple leaders. Mm-hmm. And how would you, I don't know, like, What advice would you give someone who is either in a situation where there's transition or where there's more of a plurality of leaders and, you know, they're saying, oh, I like this. But at the same time, I feel like I have three bosses or four bosses.
Yeah.
How does someone work best in that structure?
Yeah, completely. It's interesting. You know, I've as our listeners know, especially if you've been journeying along with us for a bit, a lot of our listeners are going to know that I'm very systems minded and I'm always thinking, how do we scale? How do we scale? So there is that benefit to a plurality of leaders because you are able to scale better when you have a different set of gifts, especially if you have, you know, all the leaders are a little bit different. So think about a Venn diagram and then add a fourth circle, right? So think about four circles. The way that I'm designing our executive team is it's me with our executive pastor of ministries, our director of operations, and we're hiring an executive pastor of campuses and leadership, right? So I'm wanting a four-person exec team. And right now with Keith, we still haven't hired that. So with Keith, it's still four of us because it's Keith, me, Drake, and Leslie, and then we're hiring that next person. So if you think about just four circles, my opinion, especially going to your question of the plurality of leaders, is that there should actually be a small amount of overlap with all four. But I prefer the four circles to be actually separated from each other in gifting, in area of responsibility, in what they are going to be focusing in on with a small little circle of overlap where, hey, as an exec leadership team, this is what we're making decisions on and what we need to be on the same page on. But I would rather them be out and not a lot of overlap. Whereas I know in more traditional model or models that have existed today where there's more of a senior leader with most of it and they have their team, a lot of that, if you think of those circles as power and authority and responsibility, a lot of that lies with that senior leader. Or if it is a team, there's a ton of overlap. And they all kind of can pinch hit for one another and there's that overlap there, or there's more overlap than there isn't overlap. So when it comes to the scalability side, I really do believe that little overlap is better and more advantageous. And part of it goes to that whole notion around StrengthsFinder in that there shouldn't be a well-rounded individual. You should have well-rounded teams. Right. So you need a team that's well-rounded and can cover all the areas. But if everyone is good at the same things, you're not going to go further compared to if everyone is great at a few different things. And then there's that overlap there. That's at least my perspective on that.
Well, you know, I do think that that is important. And whether you are in a situation where you have a larger church or a church, doesn't matter the size, with a plurality of leaders, or and when you're planting, more and more people are choosing that. They're choosing a elder led model, and in those instances, you know, it's not necessarily three or four people on staff. It is just about authority and structure within the church. So I think it's a question more and more people are going to have and be open to. So. Thank you for at least clarifying that. I know you guys aren't changing your polity anytime soon, but just wanted to wrap up in that way.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in to this three-part mini-series on succession, episode 544, 546, and 548. If there are other areas that you want us to do a deep dive in, just send that in at speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device or if you're on a computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. All right, we'll catch you next time.